You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Vikings. I am your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. This show is available anywhere you find your favorite podcast, or you can just ask your smart device to play podcast Locked On Vikings. And today I am very, very excited because I have a very special guest. You may have seen me tease this a little bit out on Twitter, but Trey Waynes is coming on the show. I've got him on the phone and we are going to talk to him in just a little bit. And I cannot wait to bring that to you. This is the first time since I've taken over that we've had any player active or otherwise on the show. So this is an exciting moment for me. First, if you are a new listener because you saw the Trey Waynes thing and you wanted to listen, hello, welcome. It's very nice to see you. This is a Daily Vikings podcast. I upload shows every Monday through Thursday, and, you know, rain, snow, or shine, off-season or not, we are always uploading content, so please throw me on during your morning routine and during your commutes when those come back, or if you're an essential worker and you still have a commute, I would love to join you in your daily routine. Another thing we are doing during draft season is the prospect of the day, taking one Vikings-relevant prospect every single day, deep diving into them and taking a look at who they are, what their deal is, so that when they are available on the board and the Vikings are on the clock, you can decide for yourself whether or not you want the Vikings to pick the guy. And today, the prospect of the day is CJ Henderson, the cornerback out of Florida. He's a first-round prospect, and he's, to be honest, unlikely to fall to pick 22. If the Vikings were interested in CJ Henderson, they'd probably have to trade up a few spots to get him with just the way that he's going in mock drafts right now. However, he is not without his flaws. But first, let's just talk about like who this guy is as a prospect. So he's, of course, the next Florida cornerback. It'd be kind of funny if the Vikings went with him to like replace Xavier Rhodes. But I actually think he goes further to replace Trey Waynes because he's a burner. He ran like a 4.37. So he's a really, really quick guy and he has a lot of recovery speed. So if he ever gets himself in trouble, you know, the window is only open for so long. That makes it more difficult on quarterbacks. And so that's kind of his, I think the way that he tends to win. And he's a pretty good like mirror match coverage corner. And this is something that actually like NFL scouts debate a lot, because the thing about CJ Henderson is that in man, in zone, he's like good at covering and at sticking with guys and, you know, closing passing windows. However, he has issues with physicality. And so the idea is like, do you want somebody who can just cover but can't tackle, or do you want a defensive player who can contribute, you know, at all levels of the field and on every down? You know, if you have a corner who can only cover on passing downs and they're useless on running downs, some coaches really don't like that. And some scouts really, really don't like that. Zimmer hates this, right? This is why Zimmer passed on Greedy Williams. And a lot of people actually compare CJ Henderson to Greedy Williams. It's like a faster Greedy Williams. And if he came out in last year's draft, I think he'd be the first corner off the board. And he'll probably be the second corner off the board in this draft because some coaches and scouts don't care about this, right? But I think it's different. Like, we've talked about other guys who like aren't as good in like run support or as tacklers. You know, Christian Fulton is a bit of an ankle nipper as a tackler, and that's like a technique issue, but it's not like an effort issue or a willingness to get involved. And with CJ Henderson, it does seem like there is a willingness to get involved. There are a lot of examples of him like suspiciously pulling up or taking too wide of an angle, or like it looks almost like purposefully making business decisions, and not in the way of I'm just not gonna like go get a concussion, but in the way of like I'm gonna kind of avoid contact where I can. You know, like long-term, repeatedly, I am going to avoid contact. And I think similarly, you know, his press technique is debatable, and it, like his ability in that press man, he can mirror great and he can play great in zone. He can accelerate. He can crash on the ball. He can go make a play on the ball and all that stuff. But there's a lot of things in here that make him extremely un-Zimmery. So the way I stand on CJ Henderson is if the Vikings took him, I'd be pretty happy. I think he's the second best coverage corner in this draft, and that's exactly what the Vikings need. In my opinion, run support be damned. A corner's job is to cover. But looking at Zimmer, and the reason I picked CJ Henderson for today is because I think it relates really well and contrasts really interestingly with Trey Waynes, who's just left. That, I mean, Trey Waynes, and I've said this for years, Trey Waynes is a the best, if not a top three run support corner in the league. He's, of course, you know, a cornerback too, in my opinion, in terms of his abilities in coverage, and he's got plenty of flaws there and stuff with the stiff hips and all that stuff we've talked about. You know, that's been well documented. But in terms of run support, it is very difficult to be better at that than Trey Waynes. He's amazing at getting run stops. He sets the edge like a defensive end. He is elite at run support, and I will die on that hill. And I think Mike Zimmer really, really appreciates that. Rhodes was never a slouch in run support either. And he talks about that when asked about his corners. You know, he says, yeah, good against the run. You know, he's support, like, good against, you know, getting in there, not afraid of physicality. And I think there are some corners who, you know, I mean, they want to be superstars. You know, they want to be, like, finesse players. And CJ Henderson has kind of a wiry frame and just doesn't want to get involved in that physicality. And it's pretty clear on his tape that, like, that's been an issue. If you can coach him out of that, then booyah, you have a really great corner who's like good at everything, and if you can get him to kind of buy in, that's great. But I think that's an amount of work that Mike Zimmer doesn't want to have to do with a guy. He needs to start day one. So, and the other thing is, I doubt that he'll get an opportunity to make that decision. If CJ Henderson is available at 22, I could totally still see the Vikings taking him just because that's really good value at 22. But if you want to target CJ Henderson and go get CJ Henderson, you're going to have to outbid somebody for him, and you're going to have to trade up for him. I do not see the Vikings doing that. I would be very, very surprised if the Vikings did that, just because of the way that Mike Zimmer values things in cornerbacks. CJ Henderson just doesn't check a lot of Zimmer specific boxes. I think he's a good corner, and I'm not going to dispute the scouting of people saying no, he can cover with the best of them, but I don't think that his style is very Zimmery, and Zimmer's going to care about that. And I think he'd rather go with somebody like you know, Jeff Gladney, or a dog, you know, a fighter like Christian Fulton. And those guys probably come a little bit cheaper, and they probably get selected a little bit later on the board anyway. So it works out in the Vikings' favor. So we'll see. For all I know, he could fall to the second round, surprising everybody, and the Vikings end up taking him at 58, and then I look like an idiot. But we'll see how all that stuff goes on draft weekend. For now, I want to move on to the Trey Waynes interview, and that's coming up in just a second. So stick around, and we're going to spend pretty much the rest of the podcast chatting football with Trey Waynes. Okay, everybody, I am here on the phone with Trey Waynes. What's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming and taking the time. So, first things first, congrats on the deal with Cincinnati.
Thank you.
So, before we get into some of the, like, nitty-gritty X's and O's stuff, because I'm going to geek out a little bit and ask you some nerdy stuff, what are you up to this offseason?
Right now, me and my business partner, we're actually starting a hunting outfitter in, Buffalo County, Wisconsin, and, that's going to launch April 15th. You know, you can follow it on Instagram at homegrown, HuntHDO. It's pretty cool. You know, we own probably a little over 1,000 acres, buying more, each year, and, what we're going to do, we're providing, you know, our clients the best opportunity to shoot big deer and have a good time.
That sounds odd. That sounds exceedingly Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I'll make sure that all the links and stuff for that are in the show notes, as well as your the social media places we can find you. It's at twaynes underscore 15 on Twitter and at trey.26 on Instagram. Is that right? Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. So that'll all be linked in the show notes as well. So if you guys want to go follow Trey Waynes and his various ventures outside of the Minnesota Vikings and afterwards and onwards, you can go do that. So really, because I mean, I'm catching you at a bit of an awkward time to be on like a Vikings thing, right? Because you're a Bengal now. But I also think it's kind of fun because we can just like reminisce about the last 5 years. And I know that a lot of players all have their very fun, like Mike Zimmer stories and stuff. So I just wanted to ask you about like your relationship with Zimmer, and if you have any fun stories or whatever, or just like kind of describe what it was like to work with the guy.
You know, he's cool. I mean, he's definitely a guy who knows what he's doing and talking about. He's been, you know, in the league and in this business for a very long time, so he's very respectable. You know, he's a tough coach. I don't really have any fun stories because I'm pretty reserved and quiet, and I show up to work, you know, go home. But, yeah, you know, I love working with him. He taught us a lot. And, you know, I feel like, you know, he's the perfect guy for the Vikings.
So I also want to ask you, because for most of the earlier years, you were kind of learning under the wing of Terrence Newman, and that was a relationship that was like pretty well documented. And so on this show, I like to get a little geeky, and I would love to learn some, be it like a technique thing or just a mentality thing or something. I would love to learn something that you learned from Terrence Newman or Mike Zimmer or anybody over the course of your time here in Minnesota.
I mean, honestly, like the one thing that stands out is probably just becoming a student of the game. You know, I learned that from Terrence. You know, you're going against guys that, you know, have been in playing football for, you know, 15, 20 years and, you know, that really know the ins and outs of the game. So mentally, you know, that's a big part. That's a big part of everything. It's not a bunch of just running around tackling people. It's a very mentally strong game, and you got to be mentally prepared week in and week out.
So I kind of want to dive deeper into, like, the mental stuff, too, because obviously, you know, there's a lot to think about, especially in the way that Mike Zimmer runs his defense. There's quite a bit to think about. So can you tell me about any of, like, the matchups that you would have to go up against, if it's one specific example or even just, like, an overarching thing? Like, what are the kinds of things that you have to, like, think about game in and game out?
Like what? You really got to know the system. The amount of checks we have within a call, whether it's game planning, team quarterback, a receiver, a certain player, we could have, you know, four different calls within one call based off of a motion, a check, a shift, anything, how they line up. So, you know, I would say you just have to mentally be strong and, you know the plays and know the playbook and know who you're working with and communicate so you can get the job executed.
Yeah, because there's a lot of, like, if, you know, if a motion happens and that changes the way you play and then that changes the way, like, the safety and then the linebacker plays, and if you aren't all on the same page, like, that's how, like, coverage breaks can happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's been times, like, I've rotated it to safety, I've shown down as a blitz, and, like, that's not even what I'm doing, or we're disguising different coverages. So, you know, just off a game plan, you know, that they come up with, you got to be able to schematically be sound.
Yeah. So now that you are out of the NFC, and NFC North specifically, who, over your time with the Vikings, are, like, who's the most memorable guy that you had to cover over the last 5 years?
That I had to cover? I mean, we played so many different teams. I mean, my favorite guy to cover, though, is probably Larry Fitzgerald, just because, I mean, I've played against him a couple of times. He's just somebody I've always enjoyed going up against. You know, he's not a dirty player, but he's going to play hard. He's a great competitor. He's probably one of the all-time greats. And I thought that was just really cool to do.
Yeah, that's really cool. So I got a couple more things that I want to ask you, but we're going to step away for just a second. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the X's and O's. And maybe you can teach me, a guy who does not play because I'm tiny and dweeby, if you could teach me a thing or two. So we'll be right back. Okay, we are back talking to Trey Waynes on the phone after he signed his big deal with the Cincinnati Bengals. So I want to get into the weeds a little bit here. And, you know, the listeners of this show are pretty hardcore. So they definitely, like, understand more of the, like, ins and outs of this than your, like, typical ESPN fan. But I would love for you to tell me, and this is something I've been curious about with Zimmer's defense, what are the kinds of things that you're considering? Because I know you get some agency to choose between press coverage and off coverage. And I'm super curious as to, like, what sort of factors go into that decision.
Jeez, I don't even know if I can explain all that. down in distance, you know, the call, the receiver, the split of the receiver, your quarterback, if they're in gun, if they're under center, all that factors in the you know, whether you play on or off. I mean, we have some of the coverages and the calls, we have, you know, the freedom to pick whichever one. But, I mean, if it's like 3rd and 15, you don't want to fucking press a guy, you know. Just stuff like that. So, I mean, but, like, with Zim, like, he doesn't really want us pressing in the red zone either. So it just all depends on the scheme, the call. There's a lot that goes into it. It's not just, oh, I feel like pressing, I'm going to press. I mean, certain people can do that, but like I said, there's a mental part of the game, and you want to like kind of confuse the quarterback and show him different reads. So there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, I get super curious, and I get like a lot of questions about, especially on like short yardage situations and somebody's playing off, like what kind of thing leads to that. But if it's like a scouting thing or like a matchup or a quarterback thing or just like an anticipation of like what the route is, that there seems to be like a lot more factors.
Well, if it's third and short, you don't want to play off because they just got to do the most spot route.
Yeah, sure.
There's a lot of things that go into factoring that.
I want to ask, too, about the other side, like the other end of the play, because this is another technique thing that I just don't have a very good understanding of, and I would love to learn something about it. But when you're like at the actual catch point, I know that some people coach to like get your head around and get, you know, get your eye on the ball. Some people coach to not do that and watch the receiver for a cue to like put your hand up. And I feel like you have implemented both techniques. So I was wondering, like, do you have like thoughts on the pros and cons of that? Or just like your experience with those, that kind of dichotomy?
I mean, it's a pretty fucked up system anyways, because if we don't get our head around it, it's pass interference. If we do, then we have to worry about, you know, back shoulder or like losing the ball. So there's so many things that a lot of times you just got to play it on the fly, because, you know, in today's league, you can't even breathe on a receiver the wrong way without getting a penalty flag with these refs. So it's like, you got to know your refs, and that's one thing, you know, we talk about in the game plan, like the refs that will be officiating the game, like what they call like more frequently than not. So it's just, for me, you know, I don't really like looking for the ball because I don't want to lose my guy. But like I said, if you don't turn around, then you get a flag. So like I kind of just play it, you know, on the fly.
Yeah, it's like an instinct thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Cool. So I want to shift gears here because we're in a pretty weird time in the world, and I'm kind of curious how it affects the like daily off-season life of an NFL player, because I'm sure that in a normal off-season, you know, you would be training, you'd maybe be traveling to like where there's a trainer or something like that. But I'm just curious, like, how are you making do in terms of, like, keeping up with, like, workout regimens and stuff and the off-season plan that you had before everything kind of went to hell?
Just got to, you know, take ownership and, like, do it on your own. Well, for me, at least, I know two of the gyms back at home, you know, they closed down, so I'm not able to do that and really work with my trainer. So we're doing, like via FaceTime, like I'm videoing like some of the things I'm doing, sending it to him, getting feedback from him. You know, it's hard because I know some places, like if you're even working on a field by yourself, you're going to get a ticket from a cop because you're not supposed to be out and about. So like for me, like I'm doing a lot of at-home stuff. I just bought a Peloton or something. So I can, you know, do that, you know, to stay busy. So you just got to really do it on your own and just know what your body can do and handle and just focus on that.
Yeah, got to adapt. And then there's also something I wanted to ask you about with your My Cause, My Cleats was with Secondhand Hounds, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So two things with that. A, if you just want to like plug what that is and where people can get involved if they're interested in that. And then also, I know that there's a lot of like dog fostering stuff going on with COVID-19. And if people want to get involved in that, I was wondering if you had any information that you could plug so that we can get that info out to all the listeners.
Yeah, I mean, Secondhand Hounds, you know, we've been really big on, you know, adopting, you know, dogs and rescuing. You know what they do? They're a big part in that. You know, they take dogs and, you know, they give them a home and help them find homes and stuff like that. So we've always been supportive of, you know, the Humane Society, stuff like that. So it's just something we wanted to show support with. And it's funny you actually say a lot of people are starting to adopt dogs during this, because I actually have had a couple of friends that have mentioned that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of like fostering, even if it's just temp.
Well, they want some company because they can't leave the house. They're like, oh,
yeah,
I'm gonna go get a puppy or something. And I'm like, all right, well, fuck it. Go for it. Go for it.
All right. Yep. All right, Trey. I will let you get back to your busy life with your hunting lodge and staying in shape and all that stuff. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to talk to me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Take care, buddy. So that was Trey Waynes here on Locked On Vikings. I'm very happy we got to talk a little bit of scheme there and talk about some of his off-the-field adventures as well. There was a lot that was like pretty interesting, and I have some time left on the show here, so I kind of want to debrief a little bit about what we talked about there. And it was really interesting to me talking to him about like off coverage and press coverage, because I know that's been a thing with Trey Waynes. And if there are any Bengals fans listening to this, this is like was a thing with him in Zimmer's defense. And if you're unfamiliar with how Zimmer's defense had worked, and he kind of mentioned it in the interview, there's a whole bunch of factors that like determine whether or not you play press or off. And sometimes the coaches will tell you, hey, play press on this down, you know, because of the down and distance, or just because they decide to, you know, make that call. That's something that like Zimmer or Jerry Gray or whoever has the authority to make. And sometimes you're reading it yourself and you're like making the call based on what you think is scouting and, you know, what you think is coming up. And so at times they have the leeway to play press or off, whatever they think is best. The corner actually gets to make the decision. And so it was really interesting to me hearing Trey Waynes say, no, you know, you don't want to play off on third and one or third and two because you get beat by a spot route. And like, yeah, that's like a good point. He's correct in that. I agree with him in that. But I have a whole bunch of examples from the Vikings defense doing that. So I don't know. I kind of wish I had like pursued that a little bit more. But it's interesting to hear from his perspective kind of that there are the same tendencies that we as fans like want to pick up on. You know, it's third and two, and you see him line up 8 yards off, and you go, whoa, 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 what are you doing? And I wonder if like in the film room the next day when Waynes or Rhodes or whoever did that, you know, they kind of got the same treatment as we're like screaming on Twitter about it, and they go into the film room on Monday and Zimmer has the same sentiment. But I understand that, you know, if there's other strategy going on there that you might not want to like divulge all that and spill all those beans on some podcast when, especially when you're trying to, you know, adjust to a new team and you just signed a huge contract, and I don't know if, you know, you would want the Bengals thinking of you as the guy that's, like, willing to give up all the secrets, right? So I totally get it. It was also interesting listening to him talk about the technique at the end of the pass, you know, whether or not you turn your head and, or, you know, just try to get your hand up or whatever. And I was interested in that because I do think that Trey Waynes is like supremely unlucky when it comes to contested catches. I think he's played a lot, especially in 2019. He played a lot of passes well and like did the right technique and jumped at the right time and like played it correctly, and it was just a perfectly placed ball and it makes him look bad. But I also think it's interesting that like he had quite a bit to say about like pass interference and the refs and stuff, and that was interesting to me because, again, that's like a thing with him. And so I'm glad that I kind of got him to open up a little bit about that kind of thing. Kind of wish I got a Zimmer story out of him, but, you know, I've heard similar things about Trey Waynes being a shy, reserved guy that's, like, not exactly at the center of the controversy. Like, if I wanted to ask, like, Everson Griffin or Eric Kendricks, that kind of thing, I'm sure I'd get a much more interesting story than with Trey Waynes. But all in all, that was fascinating, and I'm super glad that I got to talk to Trey. So, Trey, if you or your people are listening to this, thank you again for coming on. But that is going to do it for this episode of Locked On Vikings. I will see you guys tomorrow with we'll go back into the draft content and we'll go through hopefully some more prospects. I might have another cool guest that I'm still trying to set up, so we'll see if that comes. Otherwise, we'll just keep going over as many prospects as we can. The draft is kind of coming up. It's the 7th on this episode, and the draft starts on the 23rd, so we only have so many episodes to go over kind of the classes that I really want to dive into the corners and the receivers and the tackles specifically, and then some late round guys that I'm interested in, and kind of what the late round needs of the Vikings are is always interesting to look at too. So we will make sure we get through all of that stuff before the actual draft happens, and then afterwards we get into the dead of the offseason and hoping the season starts on time. Hopefully we don't get anything too crazy with that. So in the meantime, of course, you can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at LockedOnVikings. The show is available anywhere you find your favorite podcasts, or just ask your smart device to play podcast Locked On Vikings. I will see you all tomorrow, and as always, Skol.